Are you ready for a sermon now? I promise, we'll keep it short. Like Joe said, we're talking about the third and fourth commandment. And that's from Exodus 20, verses 7 through 11. It says this, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord your God will hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animal, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. Kevin DeYoung, he's a professor of systematic theology, and he asks, what's really at stake in the third commandment? What does it mean to not use your Lord's name in vain? What does it mean to not misuse the Lord's name? And he says that in this commandment, it's commonly understood or misunderstood as simply not using God's name when you curse or when you cuss. I don't think I need to show or use any examples of that. Or not using the Lord's name when you make an oath or a promise. Like, I swear to God that this, a lot of us understand that. But then he goes on to ask the question, why would cursing or why would making a promise and attaching God's name to it, why would that rank in the top 10 of all of the commandments? Right alongside of commandments like don't murder or don't steal things, things like that. And then the question becomes even more urgent when you consider and realize that according to our passage today, you can look at it in verse 7, that this commandment is unique among the top 10 commandments because it is the only commandment that God says he will not forgive. Why is it that God would forgive a murderer or a thief, but according to verse 7, he would not forgive someone who curses or swears simply by using God's name? Why is that? Maybe, just maybe, we've misunderstood some things. The commandment can be interpreted, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. But it can also be translated, do not take up or bear or carry the Lord's name wrongly. This translation suggests, don't act ungodly and then try to drag God's name into it later. Don't live in a way that doesn't show love and respect to God and love and respect to other people around you and then claim later on that you're doing it in the name of God, in the name, in the character, the personality and reputation of God. That is misusing the Lord's name. That is miscarrying the Lord's name. That is bearing false witness against God's name. And that is what God does not have any time for. And it happens all the time. The role of the prophets is to remind people of God's law when they forget. That's what prophets do. One of the prophets, in fact, all of the prophets, they railed against religious hypocrisy. In other words, they railed against miscarrying or misrepresenting God's name. They were reminding people not to break commandment number 3 by being a hypocrite. People just simply going through religious motions of ceremony and religion and maintaining religious preferences and creating religious hoops for other people to go through, but the whole time forgetting what God actually cares about. According to the prophets, that was the misuse of the name of God. The prophets pointed out that hypocrites were misusing the character, the personality, the name, the reputation of God. They were doing the things that promoted their desires and simply trying to bring God's name into it. God can't stand that. Likewise, in the New Testament, whether it's talking about the life of Jesus or it's the writing of Paul, Jesus also railed against religious hypocrisy. The Pharisees are called out for being hypocrites so often that their name, the Pharisees, have become what? Synonymous with being a hypocrite. They were concerned with their religious institution and the religious preferences and the religious standing and being seen as dignified more so than the things that God and Jesus actually cared about. The whole time, they were claiming the name of God. That's hypocrisy. That's misusing the name of God. That is breaking the third commandment. That is what God has no time for. The third commandment is the unforgivable commandment. It's not simply swearing or making a promise, bringing God's name into it. It's dragging God's name into things that are incredibly ungodly. It's bringing God's name into things that we don't find in Scripture. And the tragic thing is this happens all the time. Some of the most popular podcasts right now, millions of people are listening. Two of them have to do with religion. One has to do with the downfall of a church. One of them has to do with the downfall of the president of a very well-known, one of the world's largest Christian universities. And it's money laundering. It's sex scandal. It's pride. It's conflict. It's the worst things. And what ended up happening? They drag God's name into it. And that is breaking the third commandment. That's what we're not to do. It happens all the time. Moving on to the fourth commandment. I told you I was going to try to be quick. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We have to remember that the preamble to all of the Ten Commandments is this. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and the land of slavery. And we have to think, how does God freeing Israel from slavery, how does that lead to keeping the Sabbath? To begin with, the whole idea of the one who brought us out of slavery, that's not the first thing we think about when we think about God, but it is absolutely the first thing they thought about when they think about God, because that just happened within their generation. But to them, that's what they thought about. The preamble of slavery to freedom means that observing the Sabbath is God's way of having them, number one, memorialize and remember their freedom, and to do, and two, give thanks and honor the one who brought about their freedom. So on one level, the Sabbath is about remembering Israel's slavery and showing gratitude to the one who brought them to freedom. On another level, it's also about using that memory of their redemption and treating others with the same kindness and the same generosity that God showed towards them, especially those who are weak, especially those who are vulnerable, just like they were when they were slaves. Because we value the Bible, it's important to remember that the prophets never cease, they never stop reminding people of the connection between holding on and honoring the Sabbath and doing what is right. In one breath, and I absolutely love this, the prophets, so much wisdom there. In one breath, Ezekiel condemns the wealthy for treating strangers without hospitality and mistreating orphans and widows. And in the same breath, he talks about those who don't honor the Sabbath. Why is that? Also, Ezekiel, he sees those things as inseparable. If you are treating strangers and foreigners and orphans and widows, if you are treating them poorly, according to Ezekiel, that's a Sabbath issue. Clearly, you aren't taking a Sabbath. Clearly, you're not taking time to thank God for saving you when you were a foreigner in a foreign land. Do you see the connection between the two? If you honor the Sabbath, you're thinking about, you're meditating, you're giving thanks to the one who took care of you and saved you. Why wouldn't you be able to extend that to someone else? Same with Isaiah. He equates doing right and doing what is true in keeping the Sabbath. Because to Isaiah, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God, that's a result of taking your Sabbath and worshiping the one who is just and true. The two things go hand in hand. So it's not just for our rest, although rest is an important part of it. It's what are we doing with our rest that causes us to live differently to show the rest of the world what God is like. We need the Sabbath. For Isaiah, when people decide or deny social justice to others, when they deny grace and forgiveness, when they don't walk humbly with God, that's a Sabbath issue. I love the wisdom in that. Clearly, they aren't remembering and giving thanks to the one true God. The Old Testament connects Sabbath with doing what is right and compassion and liberation for all people, especially the vulnerable. The fourth commandment is all about love because it reveals a gift that God lovingly gave us. It's about sacred time. Few gifts are more precious than time. I think we would all agree with that. It's a time to connect with the God of the Bible as opposed to the God that we learn wherever else. Commandment 3, do not act ungodly and drag God's name into it. That's what hypocrites do. God has no time for that. Commandment 4, take time to remember and give thanks to God who saved you. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I think about myself, I break these things all the time. And so I thank God for what we celebrated today in communion, that once and for all, God declared me righteous because of what he did, not because of what I do. So may we have assurance that we are forgiven once and for all. May we thank God for the commandments, but know that deep down, we will never keep them completely. But our life, our rescue, our salvation, our liberation was purchased by the broken body and the blood poured out by Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.